Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868, member FDIC.
For the 10-year anniversary. It'll be 10 years for me. It'll be 15 years for Matt Bear. Clearly a party is in order. This has to happen. And what are we even wasting time for? Sponsorships now available. Usually works. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. The women have finally beaten the men. But women won't cheer it because Caitlin Clark is white. That's right. Oh, gosh. It's so hard to keep up with all the insanity. The women's NCAA finals got more viewership than the men's. That is what we call in the business rare. When we say rare, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. It just does. I mean, that's all there is to it. But the NCAA women's final beat the men's final for the first time. The men's final got 14.8 million viewers. The women's 18.9. The Wall Street Journal puts the story like this: NCAA women beat men in finals ratings for the first time, but got 99% less TV money.
So what, no f***ing TV now?
Listen to me carefully. Of course they got less money. Who would have predicted it? Who would have even thought it was possible? And the women's game can't replicate this. They want to, and they got to be trying to figure out how. But Caitlin Clark was once in a generation, maybe once in two generations, maybe once in three. Where not only have there been good women players in the NCAA, but who captured attention, who captured drama, not because she so much created the drama. Angel Reese fueled Caitlin Clark. Jemele Hill fueled Caitlin Clark. All these people who want to say, yeah, she broke the record, but she didn't really break the record. Scoring record fueled Caitlin Clark. Instead of being uplifting, you tried to tear down. Why? Because she's white, and you damn well know it, you bigots. Of course you did. You couldn't. Well, what's the issue? She's just good. By the way, I'm still going to stand by the reality that she's got the ugliest shot. It's like watching Charles Barkley hit a golf ball. It is just ugly. The whole thing doesn't make sense. It is not pretty. But it goes in a lot. Like a crap ton. It goes in often. As Ted Cruz would say, it goes in the ring. It goes in so often. Honestly, Ted Cruz is a good poll. Okay. No. All right. Just me. Now, the question that we have to ask is, she's going to the WNBA, although she got offered $5 million a year to do Big Three. And that's a fair amount of loot. Big Three is Ice Cube's organization. She's going to WNBA. She has said so. And the first pick belongs to the Indiana Fever. And well, there it is. So now you have to assume the first week of home games, Caitlin Clark sells out the Fieldhouse, right? We all agree with this, that just as a matter of, here is this person who has been elevated to superstar status and can back it up, at least with the shot, it's going to sell out the first week. The question is, will it sell out the first month? And if the Fever aren't winning, because remember, winning solves all problems, will they sell out the first, the season? So that was the college game. This is different. And we'll see what she does here. But more people being interested in seeing her, this talent, than seeing the men's game, it happened. I hope the NCAA women can capitalize on it. But I don't see it because I don't know who else they hate as much. The facts are the facts. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So I came across this about neo-Nazis. I know. There's always a story about the Nazis.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Who doesn't? But most people just end that at Illinois.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
See, they just stop it right there. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Do you hate Illinois more or Kentucky more? Which one is it? Like where is the real deep-seated, I can't stand those people? Or is it the idea of those people? Because you don't actually mind the people. Or is it the people? Ooh, now I'm just curious. 317-239-9393 on X at Tony Katz. We'll get to it. But this was the headline over at Fox 59. Neo-Nazis spew hate at Bloomington City Council meeting. May I just say for the record, spew hate. Did you work hard for that headline? I'm only assuming that if you are a J school graduate, like this is 101. Spew hate. Never once have you read neo-Nazis spew baking recipes at city council meeting. What else would be spewed? Could you work a little harder? Please work a little harder on the headline. Here's the story. Several neo-Nazis spouted out hatred. First, the headline says spew, and now it's spouted out. This whole article should be set on fire. Just for the poor journalistic standards. Several neo-Nazis spouted out hatred. By the way, would it be spouted out or just be spouted? Could I get an English professor on this, please? That'd be terrific. Several neo-Nazis spouted out hatred and racist anti-Semitic speech during a city council meeting in Bloomington last week, closing out comments with Heil Hitler and white power. Never mind how just awful that first sentence is. And really, Fox 59, maybe a copy editor. Members of the Bloomington City Council and Mayor Kerry Thompson condemned the racism and white supremacy ideology spewed by the individuals, one of whom self-identified as a Nazi by stating, "I'll take the label of Nazi if it means I love my people enough to stand against the genocide being perpetrated against us." I don't know what, first of all, more spewing, but dear Lord. We are a community that can and will welcome all well, said the mayor, urging Bloomington's citizens to speak up when they hear hatred being spewed. It's four paragraphs, three times the word spewed is being used. Honestly, Fox 59, fire somebody. But this isn't the story. The story is that, of course, this is ugly stuff. I recognize it as ugly stuff. I want to know where the article is discussing all of those in and around Bloomington who push the hate for Israel. The students on the campus, the actual administrators and professors on the campus, the Bloomington City Council that calls for a ceasefire, they might as well have written a resolution that says, Hamas is wicked cool, we love them folk. Where's that article about spewing hate? I know the answer's nowhere, guys. It was somewhat rhetorical. Could you work with me, please? I thought we were friends. Dang it. This is just a... I am not saying one should not point out the Nazi scumbags. I am saying that if you're really concerned about hate, you would notice that the people supporting Hamas are bad folk, even if they are called city council member in Bloomington, even if they're called professor at IU. You don't notice that? Yeah, guys, I'm with you. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. Not at all. By the way, I have my first vote here. I asked, what do you hate more, people from Illinois or Kentucky? And Jamie said Ohio. It's Ohio. So I don't know. I don't really think you should hate any of these people, but there seems to be some angst towards some of these folks. The popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. I share with you now a story that has nothing to do with what's being talked about. The subject matter of what I'm about to share with you is completely and totally irrelevant. The host, Ari Melber, over at MSNBC, meaningless. The subject matter, what's going to happen to Donald Trump regarding the hush money case, which is, I'm now moving forward. That's all the setup I'm going to give you right now. Put on your listening ears. Here we go.
Michael, have you been in touch with DA Bragg's office? And what specifically in evidence or logic do you think is wrong with this case?
So far you get your first hint. Ari Melber, the host at MSNBC, is talking to Michael. That's all I'm going to give you. And this is about the case regarding the very, very politically opportune district attorney there in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. What does Michael have to say?
Well, I'm going to decline to answer as to whether I've been in touch with, you know, either the defense or the DA's office. But let me say this in response to the second part of your question. You know, I think the case has a lot of problems. Now, that does not, I don't mean to suggest that means that Trump will not be convicted, because I think he will be convicted. Because number one, he's a criminal defendant, and in our society, I don't believe the criminal defendants generally get a fair shake. In fact, I think that the percentage of convictions demonstrates that the deck is stacked decidedly against all criminal defendants, number one. Number two, I don't think that he can get a fair trial in New York. And to the people who claim that, in fact, he can get a fair trial in New York with a New York jury, I would ask them, if they were to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and find out that the case had been moved to Mississippi or Alabama, would they still think that the trial was going to be fair? And I think if they were being honest, they would answer no. So
now, I don't know if you agree with him or disagree with him. That's not the story. The story is that Michael, who is answering this question, is Michael Avenatti, the disgraced lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who tried to engage in a, blackmail, that's it, blackmail against Nike for $25 million, who stole from Stormy Daniels, who stole from other clients, who including mentally disabled clients, and he's now in jail. He was calling from prison. MSNBC decided the disgraced lawyer in jail is the guy we're going to ask, hey, what do you think? This isn't a news organization. I know you weren't listening to them about news before, but this is a propaganda freak show. And Ari Melber is totally interested in propaganda freaks. Holy cow. That's embarrassing. Pathetic and embarrassing.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Gen X raised Gen Z. Is that how it works? Because, holy crap, Gen X. I thought we were the normal ones. We were going to be the ones to see everybody through. You don't have to be weird. We can just, you know, it's all right. We've got the key. We can open up the door, make our own snack. After school, we'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay. We can ride in the back seat without a seatbelt. We're going to be all right. You can see the sight of a gun and not immediately wet yourself and run screaming. We're good. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. But if we are the ones who raised Gen Z, we are, right? Then, oh, we screwed the pooch. Scrabble is doing an update. We're talking about the board game and you make the words. Scrabble is doing an update because they want to grab the Gen Z audience. So the new Scrabble board has two sides. One is the regular side where you spell words and you get points and you try and get the double word score or the triple letter score, whatever the case may be. The other side is called Scrabble Together. Scrabble Together. Honestly, I forget what sitcom is from. Sha-la-la-la. Whatever that's from, I need that. I need that right now, immediately. So here's how you play Scrabble Together. You have helper cards that'll help you spell words. You have a simpler scoring system. And it allows people to play in teams because Gen Z doesn't like so much the competitive nature of the game. And the new version is going to be easier and more inclusive.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers. Company too.
We're screwed. We are screwed. There are families that have been playing the game of Monopoly for years, and those games sometimes end up in fistfights. I have seen plenty of old women playing Rummikub saying, I am going to cut you, bitch. I have seen it all, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to make the game easier. That is not the answer. Making the game easier is exactly what shouldn't happen. The game is the game. And you play it or you don't. Well, we just want to get new people to get the game so, of course, we could sell more games. Oh. Yeah, that's just garbage. But how does one blame Scrabble? No, let us blame ourselves. for raising a generation that isn't strong enough to play Scrabble. That isn't strong enough to play. That isn't strong enough to compete. That cannot handle losing and realize, you know what? We lost. Pick ourselves up. Get back at it. Shame on us for being a helicopter generation or being helicopter parents or lawnmower parents, which is worse. The helicopter parent hovers. The lawnmower parent takes out any obstacle in a kid's path. Because as we know, when you make life easy for a kid, they never turn out bad. Obstacles are good. Challenges are good. They teach that there are obstacles and challenges in real life because there are. This isn't even about Scrabble. This is about us. We failed. We might want to fix that right away. I'm Tony Katz. From the IBJ about a movie industry convention, and I guess I had not considered that these kinds of things happen, but when I hear the term movie industry convention,
yes,
I mean, I guess I'm not thinking of it properly. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. And it's a conversation about how the whole Barbie Oppenheimer thing really, really was this massive, massive financial generator for movie theaters. They came to two shows, they bought all the popcorn and the soda. It was a massive weekend, that opening weekend. And then when you take a look at it in its totality, earned $2.5 billion in combined ticket sales. But the movie theaters know that this was rare, this was special, this can't be relied on, and so they're making an argument. This is from the CEO of the National Association of Theater Owners. That it's not enough to rely solely on blockbusters. To have a truly successful filmed entertainment industry, a variety of movies that appeal to moviegoers is critical. This, the guy's name is Michael O'Leary. And the quote is, a strong and vibrant market for movies with smaller or medium-sized budgets. The first part of his argument is right. If you want people to go see movies, you have to have movies that people want to see. Therefore, those who make the movies have to make movies that don't start with, we hate half the population. And of course, I'm talking about the movies that want to move ideologically as opposed to telling a story. You've often heard me say, quoting Kevin McKeever, that if you come to me and you say, hey, I have this great conservative movie I want to make, you're telling me that your movie sucks. Because a movie is not great because it's conservative, nor is a movie great, conversely, because it is liberal. A movie is great because it tells a great story, because of how cinematic it is, because of how the actors engage the material. But if the material is not good, nothing else matters. If you argue that there has to be a market for smaller, medium-sized budgets, well, that means the theater has to be willing to take risks on those kinds of movies and maybe not looking to the standard studio system for getting the movies in their theaters. And is it necessary for movies to go about that when they can just utilize some level of streaming or word of mouth or other ways to get a film out there? I think that for the theater owners, The pressure has to go back to the studios. Stop shoving the woke stuff and start making movies that people actually want to see. Stop agenda-driven and start storytelling. In the end, that's what we're doing here. It's all storytelling. Culture is nothing more than storytelling. Whether you want to talk about the story told in dance or in art or in gather around the fire and let grandpa tell you about the time, culture is storytelling. And that storytelling, the story that gets told, is a story usually of survival, of getting past this or getting past that or being able to achieve this or being able to survive that and how it was done. It is learning the cues and the morals and the mores that allow one to get through that next phase of life. Storytelling always matters. Storytelling is everything, actually. And we have those in film who don't want to tell story but want to lecture ideology. And that's why you don't have worthy things to see. But the people who are storytelling might not have the dollars to get into the theaters. So either the theater puts pressure on the studios or the theater has to go outside of its norm and find the other film and deal with the fact that the studio might not allow them to show the next movie. You're locking people out and then wondering where the storytellers are. They're out there. I think you just got to do a better job of letting them in.